They got so much things to say. Nine have come to fight flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high and low places. So while they fight you down, stand firm and give Jah thanks and praises. Cause I and I expect to be justified by the laws of men. By the laws of men. Oh, you may find me guilty, but prove my innocence. Oh, when the rain falls, all now, it won't fall and one man's house stop. Remember that.
When the rain falls,
it won't fall on one man's house stop. They singing
so much very much, so very much, so much.
I have come to fight flesh and blood, spiritual wickedness in high and low places. So why, they fight you down, stand firm and give your thanks and praises. I and I no expect to be justified by the laws of men, by the laws of men. Hey, true God, to prove my innocence, adore the wicked.
Don't let you glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh, now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh
glory,
we'll cry glory, oh glory.
Now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald eagle. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Loud. And though it's simple, your idea It won't make sense to everybody. You'll need courage now if you're gonna persevere.
Change tomorrow. 96.9 FM radio. Welcome to Remark. No, this is not God's Borrow today. This is Gabby sitting in your company, and we have a wonderful show lined up. God isn't in studio with us, but we promise that we're going to keep it lively, provocative, and bring you all of the energy that he would bring to you on Sunday in your company. Joining me in studio today, I have a young, fiery man. I mean, full of energy, charisma, excitement. I love every time I see him talk. So without further ado, I want to introduce my guest today, none other than F&M Vice Chairman, Mr. Denari Roll.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Gabby, you make me feel so good just now. If I didn't know you was talking with me, boy, I know I was not good. I feel good to be here now. Pleasure to be here with you today, man. Thank you for having me.
And thanks for being in my company today. So we're going to get straight into it, guys. Today we have a wonderful show lined up. Today we want to talk to you about something near and dear to my heart. And no, it's not just politics, but it's youth in politics. How important our involvement is in the process and everything that happens. Today we really want to dive deeper into, despite the youth, the millennial and Gen Z demographic being more than 50% of the voting populace, they feel disillusioned with politics, politicians, and even going out to the polls. And this young man here joining me in studio, Denari, I've seen him for quite some time, you know, making his rounds, whether it be on social media, whether it be on other shows, and he's constantly giving his contribution to that. So, Denari, we'll jump straight into it. What do you think is the number one issue today why Bohemians, young Bohemians, don't want to be involved in that political process?
Well, I think, first and foremost, I think the issue or the challenge that young people have, you know, they call the Gen Z and the Gen X the microwave type of generation. They want things happen to the clip of the fingers. And then the millennials like myself and you, we are no nonsense. We like to get things done. We like to see action. And for far too long inside politics, you would see, I guess, some legislation being passed. But I don't know if young people could see themselves being affected by what it is that is being put on the table or what government would consider key priorities or focus points. I don't know if young people really feel those legislation reach their level.
What is it that there's not to feel? We see right now, even currently, with the prison administration, there are a lot of things that they say is benefiting us as Bohemians at large and as young Bohemians. So what are some of the things that, you know, when you go out and you talk to people and you go around and you speak with your colleagues and your comrades, what are some of the things that they're saying?
Well, outright from the onset, I mean, because this government is saying a lot of things. I think they got a fluff talk, but no real action behind it, if I may say so myself, throw a little jab at them. But with young people, the first thing they say is, even when they pay attention to the House of Assembly, nobody that they can relate to. Or they don't feel like, they look inside there and say, I can't relate to that particular person. I don't see nobody like myself. There's nobody who even can say, speak my language inside the House of Assembly. And then you hear a lot of young people saying,
what do you mean? I thought the language is English.
Oh, no, you know what I mean. They like a little dialect and things. So that's issues that could help, you know, their day-to-day life. And then you have a lot of young people that are saying, okay, if I vote, what I get out of it? Because it's like, if I ain't connected or if I don't know the right person, then ain't happening for me. And so that's just the general cry. Young people, they feel like, you know what, I can do this by myself without the government, because ultimately being involved in that process gives me no real results. So I yield nothing from it.
But you brought up something very, very important: representation, having a seat at the table. And when we look at our parliaments and we look at our governments, we're gearing up for an election season, an election cycle. And political parties are presenting candidates to us. Mm-hmm. And persons are putting them up against each other to say, who represents my views? Who represents my values? Who represents the future and what I hope for? Where do you see you're representing, obviously, the Free National Movement as a young vice chairman? Mm-hmm. But noticeably, there are absent any candidates that have been ratified. 17 candidates have been ratified so far. Correct. That are under the age of 40 years old.
Correct.
So as a young vice chairman for the Free National Movement, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on this?
Well, so far we had 17 candidates, Rollo, Gabby, like you said. One would have been under 40 at the time. That would have been Miss Philippa Kelly from Central and Sally Luther, but she would have had her birthday about a week or two after, which would have made her 40 years of age. And one of the things I push for having a seat around the table is that I want to see more people like myself have the opportunity. I want to see more of us on the front line. We have 22 more candidates to go. And I know of a lot of young, fiery people that put their names in the hats. The Lincoln Deers, DeAngelo Ferguson, Travis Robertson, Denari Roll, et cetera, and so hopefully you, in the next rollout, you'll see more young under 40 individuals to speak to what it is that this new FNM governor is going to bring to the table and show not only inside of the House, but outside of the House of Assembly as well, young people having a voice and a seat around the
table. Do you think that the Free National Movement represents the views, though, of young people? In the first rollout, there, like you say, were no candidates. only there was Philippa, who then turned 40. We could push the young people to even age 45, if we look at where the millennials, by definition, starts, millennial generation starts. Mm-hmm. But are there views now? What is the FNM planning on offering to, when you knock on doors and you meet a 25-year-old who wants to own their own business in this economy right now? What is the FNM's plan? What do they have to offer to these entrepreneurs who wants to own their Bahamas?
Well, when you look at, the previous FNM administration, when you look at the SBDC, that was one of the initiatives that was brought on board to help young entrepreneurs empower themselves and expand their opportunities in terms of development as young people. And then when you talk about the TYA, the Torchbearers Youth Association, that's the oldest youth arm in the political realm. And so I definitely feel as if the FNM gives the young people a voice at the table, because even sometimes, oftentimes internally, where there's no representation at the table, Leader Pintard asserts that someone or some two from the TYA is represented and sitting around the table to ensure that their viewpoints and their attitude or what their positions are heard. And so when you talk about now moving forward in regards to what young people have to offer, I think one of the main things that young people are going to take away from this incoming government's the housing plan that you would have heard Leader Pintard speak about, the housing revolution, because what it does is it gives young people, through the setup that he's proposing, access to the necessary funding that they would need no matter their salary scale and or their age, because you know a lot of young people right now can't afford a basic mortgage, they don't get paid enough, etc.
Okay, but we heard this before. The last FNM administration promised some reform,
yes,
access to land, opportunity, but we saw a few in deliverables
yeah.
of persons being able to do that. How is it that people can trust that bringing a new F&M administration or bringing back an F&M administration to governance, they will fulfill those promises? Because the proof is in the pudding, and I don't think a lot of persons had much pudding in their hands.
Well, I mean, again, if you just simply look at it, and again, this is my view, what I'm looking at is what I view or what I see coming in regards to the team that's going to be put forward to represent the F&M in the upcoming general election. And if you have more young people involved in the process, there's more voices that are being heard in regards to what it is that young people definitely want to see. And I think you are going to get more accountability out of this team as well. Because we have a different, entirely different leadership team right now that is carrying us over, and the makeup of the team may change tremendously. And I think because the focus now is that much different, and the focus of the party is now, we work for you. We want to work for the Bahamian people. The key point and the reasoning is going to be different because we really believe we have to do the work of the Bahamian people. Nobody is in there to personally benefit themselves, but to benefit the Bahamian people. So because I'll be a part of that team, I know I'm going to be a champion or proponent if I am successful being a part of that team, that we must do what we say. Because I don't like saying things and looking people up in their face because that just make you look bad.
Let's just say you are successful in becoming a part of that team. Who's not to say that? Because the stigma surrounding young people is you're a newcomer. You're new to this. Sit in the corner. Wait your turn. You have no parliamentary experience. You have no cabinet experience. So what can you, the Nari rule now, offer the people and your caucus now if they feel as though, is that a position that the F&M party takes or the stance that they take?
Well, me personally, like you said, if I am successful, I'll be a newcomer to the parliamentary caucus and the team. Now, in terms of leadership and management, no, that's not new for me because, you know, that's what I do in a day-to-day now at my workplace. So in terms of management and leadership, that's something that I do. But again, I have high hopes in Leader Pintar, listening to what he speaks and what he presents. I think he's going to operate different. And what I've witnessed him do is no matter how big or small that you are, he is not opposed to opinions. Sometimes you might disagree with him, but one thing he does is he listens. He always opens the floor to hear feedback. And so at the end of the day, the fundamental difference, what I think is going to be the key is leadership. One that listen, ones that actually want to make a change. And then anybody who is serious about change and any leader understands that you obviously have to follow before you could lead. And it's no I and team. Together, everybody achieves more. And if the leadership is serious about making a meaningful impact, then everybody voice have to count for something.
So what do you say to those young people listening today? They are tuning in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're listening to you. They still haven't made up their minds, made a decision. They've been told that, you know, well, Pintad was under the former administration. Some of the candidates brought before was already there. Why now? Why weren't some of these things agitated for? What is going to really be the difference? What are some of the plans that the F&M has for young people?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so in terms of, I think that was two different questions you asked.
Yes.
Let me take the first part first. Pintar, again, I just go back to the same thing. When I look at the makeup of who initially, so far, who has launched, we have more new faces that then old faces, if I can remember correctly, in the first rollout, even though some came from the previous administration. So the rest has to remain to be seen with the new 22. Now, again, and to the young people who's listening to the Nari Roll today on this Sunday evening, what I would tell them personally is that we are in a time now where we are living in the social media era, and that's what the young people like. Pay attention to the details. Make informed decisions for yourself. Don't go off what someone tell you or what you are hearing. Go and do the necessary research for yourself. Find things that could benefit you. Look at what the leaders are saying. Don't even just have to look at the F&M. Generally, look across the board. Look at the leaders or those who want to represent you. Look at what they say. Look at their background. Look at their track record. Do your research. Do your research because your voice matters. Like you mentioned in the beginning of the show, there are 50% voting populace of the young people. They control the next election. And so if they come out and their voice be heard, then they they too, their voters, their voice, they will be controlling their narrative. And I encourage them to get involved in the process, no matter which side of the political divide you decide to go on. Get involved in the process, because that is the only way we will be able to see the change that we want to see or reflect the young people's views. If you go there, you do your research, and then you get involved in the process to push to see what you want to see. Because it's definitely not going to be handed out to you. You got to go there and get it.
Tanari, you've given us much food for thought. We're going to get ready to go to our first commercial break. But before we go, we want to give the phone lines and the text lines for you to really get involved in the conversation. So the phone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or anywhere from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can also text your opinions in at 422-4796. This is Remark with guest host Gabby.
Taking a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
So much things to say. 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. Gabby in your company today, filling in for Garth Roseboro. If you're just tuning in, I'm joined today with my guest, Mr. Denari Roll, Vice Chairman of the Free National Movement. And we're talking today about youth involvement in politics. And why is it that our generation is so disillusioned and so uninvolved with the process? Why is it that they don't feel that they truly have a seat at the table in spite of both sides telling them, listen, we value you. We're here for you. Let's talk now. We're going to shift gears a little bit, Denari, and I want to talk now about age. Ageism and age. Everywhere you see, I'm glad you mentioned earlier about yourself being involved in management where you currently work. And the general thing right now is at 65, you go home. Mm-hmm. You pack it up, you go home, we throw a retirement party for you, thank you for your service. You would have, if you were good, you would have had a succession plan, you would have trained and mentored the next generation coming up. What is it that you think right now about persons over the age of, we'll start with 65 and we'll work our way up, because we have persons well over 65 now, whether it is vying for seats and even currently involved still as members of parliament. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, for me personally, if we go in above the age of 65, I'm a proponent of, like you mentioned, succession planning. If you work in the public sector and you reach the age of 65, by the times you get there, who knows how much years you would have possibly spent in the system, whether it was 5, 10, 15 years, or depending on how long you've been in there. For sure, if you were a lifelong public servant and you reach the 65, I'm of the view that there should be no if, ands, or buts as to why you want to go home. As a matter of fact, I think you should be kicking the door down, right? Because the only way you could empower, and to me, true leadership is through empowerment. And if at the age of 65 you're still holding on to power, then to me, I think, in my view, you haven't done enough in terms of empowering the lives of those under you. And so if you have reached a certain level too in terms of 65, not that you have to sit down, go home, chop your leg, whatever. At 65, you have a lot of active people who still got a lot to offer, but that's where they could play a consultatory role or consult and guide someone along, more or less owning the chair or having to come back to do that. Because if you have to come back and only you could do the job, and again, to me, that's you hoarding. That's not empowering people. And so it's not that you want to move the 65-plus-year-old people to the side, but I think their role should be that much different in terms of what they want to offer, because they would have had ample opportunity to prove themselves and put someone there who sort of succeed them.
Okay, we have a call on the line. I'm going to invite them to join the conversation. 96.9, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, hello.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Remark.
It's always a pleasure to hear this young man that you have on. I listen to him regularly on. I think he appears on another daily talk throughout the week sometimes, and it's always a pleasure to hear him and his passion. But one of the things I wanted to hear from him, because I also know that he runs a team group in the Junkaloo capacity from a community standpoint. This weekend we have had a number of incidents of violence where there's a heavy involvement of youth. And so I wanted to hear from him in terms of what the FNM's future plans are for youth-involved crime, and how is it that the FNM, under the new leadership, intends to deal with the level of crime that we have. Yes, we hear the statistics from the police and the government saying that crime is trending down or murder is trending down. However, I believe that grief among families and the fear index of crime, and particularly gun violence, especially with this weekend here, is trending upward in our country. And I want to know, I'm not hearing leaders on the forefront address this issue. And I believe that this is going to be an issue that is going to determine what direction the ballot is going to go on election day. And so I would love to hear from the young man plans, initiatives that the Free National Movement have in store for youth-involved crime in our country. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carlo. We'll continue on the next slide.
Let me take that now.
He had that question specifically for you.
No, you said the next class is making sure. Thank you, caller, for tuning in. I'm glad to hear you share those kind words with me. Much appreciated. In terms of youth involvement in crime, youth and crime, right? Like you say, I spared a TNOC program with the Genesis Junkaloo organization. I sit as a director. One of the things I realized is that prevention nowadays is better than cure. It's not a one-size-fit-all solution. We have to do a cross-sectorial approach to solving this issue. A lot of our issues, we have to do more data keeping. In regards to the FNM had, from 2023, what we would call shadow ministry working groups. One of the most active groups, in my opinion, I would say, is the Ministry of National Security. I think that's a top priority for the FNM administrator. I know one of the key cogs in that, Mr. Mandel Miller, he was a key cog in that, and he was leading the charge even in terms of our Reach One Crime initiative, which was apolitical. In regards to going into the communities, speaking to young fellas, seeing where they are at, getting necessary information on what it is that they do. And he would have used all of that to compile, to provide to the party different mechanisms and things that we could do in terms of the prevention, crime prevention. And so for me, what I've seen and working when I was able to sit with the Ministry of National Security Working Group, it looks like the F&M focus would be on more preventative measure strategies, bending the young. And I think Mr. Miller, as a community national treatment specialist, he often champions for the public health crime approach. And so I think he would have presented that to the party, and they're going to take a chunk of that. And I think more prevention than anything would be the focus. And then enforcing stiffer penalties again. Plenty of governments have talked about it, but there's no more talking thing. I can't talk
anymore. So is crime then high up on the F&M's legislative agenda? Like you said, there's been plenty talking. It's always talking. We go in, these parliaments bang on the table, yay, woo-hoo-ah-rah, and not much being done by the persons holding the pens. Yeah. Is crime in the F&M's top priority should they be successful in the next general election?
Crime is one of the F&M's top five legislative agenda items. You would have heard the leader already go on record and said from the onset we'll be having an independent commission. We will be ending political appointments in the police force from the top, the upper arm of the police force. They'll have to go through a rigorous process to be appointed there. The independent commission will be responsible for that. One of the things he also says, we're going to definitely define the worst of the worst in terms of how do you bring now in the death penalty. Again, to me, you have to strike some fear into these brothers because they don't have no fear for mankind.
There was just a mass shooting just a little over, 24 hours ago?
Yeah.
A mass shooting. Six shot, two murdered. Seven shot, two died. Two died. Mm-hmm. So we're hearing this. What is some of the initiatives, if there's any yet, or if they can be discussed, if you're at liberty to discuss them now with the public listening to this? Because mothers right now, as we speak, are grieving for their sons.
Definitely.
We have these gang leaders right now preying on vulnerable young men. I'm talking about these are 14, 15, 16-year-olds now, not even old enough to be charged in the upper courts.
And Gabby,
they have to be charged as juveniles, and people are putting guns in their hands. What are some of the real things? We want tangible results. People are tired of hearing, this is what we're going to do. This is the next thing we're going to do. I mean, we didn't have urban renewal 10.0. It's not working.
Yeah.
It's not working. We need to have plans. Mm-hmm. It's obviously idle hands are the devil's work, as they used to say. When you have nothing to do, you find something to fill that time, and somebody is filling that time. Somebody is reaching these young men, and it seems that we, and this is bigger than a political problem.
Definitely.
We have churches on almost every corner in our community. And as much as we call ourselves a Christian nation, a Christian society, on this Good Sunday, how many of you, after you done spray on all your good perfume, put on your pearls, your nice red bottoms hat, then parade up and down, jump up and down in the church. How many of you walked the neighborhoods right where you are, where you saw some of these young men sitting idly all summer and said, hey, I want to invite you to this youth meeting. I want to invite you out to church. I mean, when we want to talk, we want to blame the government or governments for a lot of our social ills. But what is going on with our communities? Yes. What is the F&M's plan to engage our communities at a wider level? Bring all stakeholders involved. That's religious leaders. That's Jonkanu leaders, civic leaders, all of them, so that we can truly get hold of this crime problem.
Yeah. And I just want to say, like you say, Gabby, it's very serious for me because all of those young men yesterday, we'll be doing the ages of 16 to 22. Can you imagine? Seven shot all is under the age of 25, between 16 and 22. So this is really a problem. And like I first said when I first started on the crime topic, it's not political. It's crime. Crime is a cross-sectoral issue, right? One of the things, again, I'd say that the F&M has been doing, but it's in an apolitical way, the Each One, Reach One organization was established late 2022, early 2023. And you would have seen the leadership of the Free National Movement. That's what have been the Honorable Michael Pintard, the Deputy Leader, Shannon Dawn Cartwright, Chairman Dwayne Sands, Deputy Chairman Travis Robinson, Deputy Chairman Chanel Robinson, would have actively been on the ground in different communities, whether it was in Beantown, whether it was in Yalowella, whether you've been in Freetown. We were working. And the approach we realize is that you have to go meet people where they're at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, in my work with young people, children are products of their environments. A lot of the environments that they are brought in, you would be surprised to realize how the gun getting into their hands. So it starts in the home. We have to get information and statistics from the home.
So how are guns getting into this country? We coming back to that.
Yeah, let's come and be coming.
But call you on there.
Hello.
Caller, good day. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I was listening to your show, but I was pushed to call when you said that the urban renewal is not doing anything.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said we've had several revamps
of urban renewal.
We've had several revamps, and I'm saying we're not seeing any drastic
change. But can I say this to you, madam?
Go ahead.
Of being a product that bees into the Nassau Village constituency, mm-hmm. urban renewal is making a big difference in Nassau Village.
I love that.
A big difference.
I love that. Could you share with us
You could have had people that was known, the stories, fellas and thing, now walking around with the urban renewal policemen, those are talking to young men. Okay, and this is something that is happening in Nassau Village. I'm not talking PLB and FNM now. I'm talking mm-hmm. about the people in Nassau Village now.
I love that for Nassau Village.
Yo, I don't care what you're
mm-hmm.
I'm talking as a nationalist.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, I'm finished with that. One question I want to ask the young man. Can you name me quickly 5 people under the age of 35 that you think can lead the FNM tomorrow?
If I can name you 5?
Yeah, any 5. Any 5.
When you say lead the FNM, you mean in terms of leadership?
In leadership position.
Yeah, I could leave you 5 that I think could operate in leadership roles.
Speak up a little, please.
I said, yes, I think I can name you 5 that
name
I think.
Five.
Name you 5. Travis Robinson, he currently sits as our deputy.
Yeah, okay. Chairman. I can give you Travis Robinson.
Denari role could lead in a leadership role. Carlisle Bethel, like you say, could lead in a leadership role.
Yeah.
Lincoln Deer could lead in a leadership role. You have Mandel Miller, Adam McDonald.
Gabrielle McKenzie. Let's use him. Because we're going to use him. Because I know you have some more callers. Mm-hmm. And I sure got to push some people to call after I say this.
Yes, sir.
If the FNM loses the next election, Dr. Dwayne Sands get beat, Travis Robinson get beat, the FNM won't be able to win the next election for the next 15 years.
I mean, that's your opinion.
Easy, very
easy. That's your opinion.
If you knock out in this election, in this cycle now,
yes, sir.
It seems, I'm watching the politics.
Yes, sir.
It seems like you have a Michael Pintard and a what's the deputy name, Travis?
Shannon Dawn.
Shannon Dawn Cartwright.
Deputy leader, yes, sir.
Against, right now, it seems like them two is against the Dr. Dwayne Sands and a Beantown for Charlotte man.
No, sir. They can't be. All of them sit on the same leadership team. All of them is one. I disagree wholeheartedly with what your
all
view
of
is.
The
on,
the all the police to sit on one team and then with each other.
I mean, again, I work with these fellas every day, sir, and I don't see the politics that you see. I have to humbly disagree with that. I think they're on the same page, and everybody have the same mission, and I've seen the FNM win the general election in 2026.
Are you interested in running this election?
Yes, sir.
Which constituency are you looking at?
Pinewood constituency.
Pinewood?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
I'll listen out for you.
Please do. Blessings.
Thank you so much for your call. So, I wanna just make a comment there. So, if the program is working so well in Nassau Village, then maybe we need to study what's happening there in Nassau mm-hmm. Village and duplicate that in areas, replicate Mira. That in areas Mira. Where we are seeing crime hotspots. Because right now, as we speak, like I said earlier, mothers are mourning right now. Their children are in critical condition and two are dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm again, to me, Gabby, it starts in the home. We have to get inside the home to get, like you said, data, information from these homes to see what's happening in the house. And then from there, we bill out.
Sure. We have a call on the line. Okay, we ain't getting them. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm well. How are you?
I am okay. Yeah, you know, they plan to be basically the problem in this country. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. We have things going on, but, like, be blind. Don't see what's happening. Mm-hmm. But report everything as Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
You get it where I'm coming from?
Yes, sir. I'm listening.
Okay, because I mean, I tell you no lie. The amount of faces I see that are not Bahamian, that are basically, I mean, been roaming the street up and down on our cell phones, calling. I don't know who they're calling, but it's amazing. The police are having roadblocks all over the place, looking for, I guess, drugs and people who are on insurance and everything. But there is the Department of Immigration. What's happening? All the blame is for Bahamians and the other part of society that does not speak English is allowed to just be, while Bahamians take the blame, pay the bills, while these other individuals just live off of Bahamians. Is it fair? Politics don't even mention it. Mm-hmm. PLP and FNM ain't mentioning nothing about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But we have a serious problem in this country. We ain't gonna stop until one day. Pretty soon, our ability to go to America will be basically hindered and stopped. But it seems as if we are still asleep. You know? In this country, we need to wake up, man, because this political thing is just to get in the city. Yeah, but we got the power now, and the same thing goes on, because the same thing's been going on from PLP, FNM, PLP, FNM, PLP, FNM. Now we have this problem, Creole problem, to be exact. But no one seems to.
That's a powerful statement. That's a very powerful statement. Thank you so much, caller.
You're welcome.
I think immigration has been a hot button topic for all political parties. So as a country, we are noticeably seeing, and I don't think it's just with one set of immigrants. And when we look at immigration, we also need to look at migration, migrants that even come through this border legally. That are here legally and abusing privileges. So are we doing our due diligence to see even those who are here legally? I remember hearing current President Donald Trump saying that the Bahamas is harboring some very bad people. And I'm paraphrasing him because I don't want to repeat exactly what he said, who they do not want in the United States of America. And we see them now doubling down on visa applications. At one point, just recently, applications at a halt. Denari, I mean, what are your thoughts on this, on what the caller had to say?
Well, it's twofold. I mean, we didn't want to just jump straight on the immigration because obviously the topic for the day was youth and politics, right? But seeing
and guess
that he
what?
Called...
It encompasses yeah. everything. The thing about it is all of these are issues affecting our young people, right? Because if they don't see a future, I've talked to several young people and they don't see a future. They feel like immigrants are coming to take over the Bahamas. They are going to pretty soon outnumber them. And I want to say to everyone listening, every young person listening to under the sound of my voice, they will outnumber us if we don't use our one constitutional right. Get up, get out. I don't care who you're voting for. Vote. That is your right. Vote for the party, the people, the person who you feel represents the protection of the sovereignty of the Bahamas, who is going to protect your birthright. If you aren't prepared to fight for it, who is going to fight for it? See, we sit down in our corners, we have our conversation. I'm voting. They ain't doing nothing for me. What's gonna happen? But what are we doing to help ourselves? What are we doing? When are we going to get fed up and say, enough is enough? When are we going to get tired of just seeing illegal buildings erected and we stay quiet? And we just go on past the shanty towns every day. In fact, some of us go through there and we purchase our local fruits and vegetables from the vendors in these various towns. And we aid and abet all of these operations that's going on. When are we, as young people, going to agitate and get tired? I think we've seen, Denarian, seeing that really and truly when we look at these people who, when we go back to even majority rule government and we look at the ages, I always love to examine that. The ages of these men, when they really decided that they've had enough. These men and even these women, when we had the women's suffrage movement, when they decide they've had enough, they wasn't at age 65. When we look at the Burma Road riot and we look at the various strikes and when this country was truly shut down and things started to move and progression started to happen, when we look at the age of these leaders and the movements, and this brings us right back to what we're talking about youth involvement. They didn't wait for someone to tell them it was their turn, Denari.
They came and take up space. And that's why I said earlier, I thought, and you asked me what I could tell the young people, the only thing I could tell them is, listen, if it's one thing you want, take it over and you want to see yourself in it, go after it, get involved, join the process. That's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to be handed out to you. They're not going to give it to you. You got to go there, get involved in the program, in the environment, and make space for yourself. You have a call?
Yeah, we have a call on there. Call on the line. This phone ain't working with me today. Right. Caller, you may have to call back.
But Jess...
Okay, we got that. Call you on there.
Good evening, Mom. Just as you all touched on immigration, I wanted to share an experience I had this morning with a young man in the food store. Just trying to encourage the young man and asking him, you know, where's his future headed and what is he doing this summer and so forth. And the young man said to me, quite frankly, sir, I just want to get out of here. And I was like, why? He said, Mom, so look around, man. You can't see they're taking over all our jobs. You can't see that's what the food store full of. Man, I'll be competing with them just for a parking boy job.
My God.
And I was blown away to hear a young person take this stance in our country. I am saying to all of us, protecting the sovereignty of the Bahamas is of utmost importance at this very time. I'm not here to talk about whether they come from the south, the north, the east, the west, or wherever. We must do everything that we can as a people now to protect our sovereignty, because if we lose that, we will lose that which we believe is our Bahamian identity.
Agreed.
Our sovereignty is at risk. Just wanted to share that there.
Thank you
and
so much.
And young people are experiencing it and aware of it.
Thank you so much, caller.
Well, let me just get to the last two callers, seeing that they mentioned immigration. The first caller would have stated that it's the PAP and the FNM that does not talk about or is referencing immigration. I just want to set the record straight. Let me start with the PLP. I don't think the PLP doesn't feel that we have a immigration crisis. And so the first step to being bad is you have to admit. So they're not admitting, because they are seeing nothing wrong. And when you have a prime minister going on record basically telling the community, I have decided to take your problems on, and I'm just quoting his words in a different way, but shortlisting it. But I've decided to take your problems on, and I'm going to be here for you, and you are me, and I am you. That clearly shows that he has doubted the sovereignty of the nation. He doesn't see anything wrong. And so to them, there's not a crime crisis, because the prime minister says their problems is his problems. Now, in regards to the FNM, I just want to speak to the multiple. We have been at the immigration office at least on two or three occasions, one time calling for Keith Bell to resign on East Bay Street, and then we've been in Hawkins Hill in the rain again calling for investigation to immigration when they let go of the directive. Live demonstrations at the Department of Immigration officer that the FNM carried out. We just had a press conference last month for about 2 hours breaking down our Operation Shield initiative, which is to secure the borders, heighten surveillance, investigate the political abuse and unfairness, limit approvals and disclose data that we released to the public just a few weeks ago. And so I don't agree with the caller when he says the FLM is not saying anything about it, because at every turn, we have been speaking to this immigration model, and we've also been presenting what it is that we want to do. So that is something that is, again, high and key priority for us, and we're going to tackle this immigration crisis head on.
I want to get this caller in before we go to our break.
And while you get the caller, let me just make it clear. The leader's on record stating if you came here illegally and you're found out to be illegal, you're getting sent back where you come from, full stop. You can never get
Bahamian
citizenship.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Guardian Radio Remark.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And you have a fine young gentleman on your show who's one day going to do great things for this country.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
But what I want to really call and speak to is... I think you had one of your callers who called and he spoke about the crime situation among our young men. And I think what is being overlooked, what's happening in the Bahamas today is of biblical proportion.
You listening? Hello?
We're here.
Oh, I'm still here?
Yes, you're there. On. You're on
there. I'm saying it's of biblical proportion. The Bible tells us, writing in Matthew 24 and 12, the heart of man has waxed cold. And so, right, what's happening nowadays is they're not showing love and compassion for one another as human beings. So our crisis is actually, in my mind, a crisis where we, as Christians, need to trouble the throne of God on behalf of the Bahamas.
They too busy dressing up, man. Everybody wants.
You cannot rely on the politicians, because the politicians are busy doing other things, and this is where we as believers, the church, need to focus on getting the country up and about to where God wants it to be, until we begin to confess our sins and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, hearts will not be changed. And so I'm calling on all Christian leaders under the sound of my voice, let's begin to trouble the throne of grace, that God would reach out and heal our land. Because if my people, which are called by my name, don't humble themselves and pray, he wants to hear us praying. So we have to do it. We cannot rely on the government. We have to call upon God to intervene on our behalf in this situation that is transpiring in our country today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller. And it goes back to what I said. We have so much churches, and I asked our producer to play Waiting on the World to Change. I just love the song by John Mayer. As we go to a commercial break, I see you on the line. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll pick up this conversation. This is Remark with Gabby.
On the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we're on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Is your business ready for the next big step? More inventory? New equipment? A larger space? At Fidelity, we offer commercial loans tailored to suit your business's needs. Inquire today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Nine FM, Gabby in your company, filling in for the wonderful Garth Roseboro. This is Remark. And if you're just tuning in and joining the conversation, I have with me a wonderful young man, Mr. Denari Roll, and we're chopping it up about all things youth and politics, the issues that our country is facing, is particularly when it comes to the youth. And right before we went to commercial break, you know, we were talking about, I had the producer play that song, "We Keep Waiting, Waiting on the World to Change." It's hard to change the system when you're standing at a distance. That's what the songwriter says. I think that's a powerful statement. And we talked to the caller right before we went to break, and we talked about the Christian community, because, you know, we call ourselves a Christian nation, Denari.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The role that the Christian community has to play. I mean, we can't continue to just walk into our churches, close our fancy French doors, and pretend that right in our communities, Christian people of the Bahamas, that we're not touching anymore. We're not ministering anymore. We're not walking down the street and inviting the young men out to the youth service. I remember, Denari, church bus used to come for us.
Yeah, it used to pick you up.
It used to pick you up from home. Yeah, I don't see much church buses on the road that much, you know. A few of them still have them, but I don't see much church buses. I will say this. Carlos Reed, I remember. Stop the Violence.
Yeah, Stop the Violence.
Stop the Violence. He ran that program for a very, very long time. And I remember first being introduced to it as I grew up through Crooked Island Street in the Grove. So, you know, violence was something that we almost became used to seeing and hearing murders. And I remember Carlos Reed, those, and his wife, and they used to come down through the corner, and one of my friends told me, say, "Listen, you ever been to this Youth Against Violence thing?" And they used to come. I say, "No." And the bus would come and get us. Yeah. And it would just be a time of praise and worship and really ministering and talking. They used to, you know, one of the important things was they used to speak our language.
Yeah, yeah, they could relate back.
They was relatable. I know that Carlos Reed is still doing a lot of things in the community, but he can't do it by himself. Carla, I'm going to join you then to the conversation. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Yes, to your guest, right? He's saying that what the FNM is going to do, right? But I can tell you what the FNM did after Dorian at the Poinciana Arena. You know where the Poinciana Arena is?
The
Poinciana
Arena?
Poinciana Arena.
Where is it?
That's there, just after you pass the roundabout where Burger King is. There, like in the more east.
You think he means Bernard Road?
Bernard Road?
Burger King, yeah, Bernard Road.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, okay, okay. I follow you
I
now.
I can tell you what. And also, it continues today. The housing of those persons from Dorian Storm are still there under the Bahamas government paying for those rooms. PLV, FNM, same thing. No different.
I think that shelter is being shut down now. They was using it as a social services shelter the last I checked by the Pontiana Inn.
That's
a social services shelter now. I think he's speaking of.
Okay.
Yeah, they use it as a social services shelter.
Right? Yes.
There was an announcement. There was an announcement about just a few days ago, 2 days ago to be exact, right? On the radio saying that accounts would be frozen from persons who are affiliated with these patient gangs. And they named a few of them, right? In the Bahamas, like persons who are affiliated with to freeze their accounts. But the reality is that I feel it is very soft of this Bahamas government really not saying exactly what it is. You know, they're terrorists who kidnap people, who murder people, who burn people alive, who steal everything from them. You know, they are terrorists. America could call what they are, right? The banning of terrorists from America, right? And the Bahamas is allowing these persons to be here. Why?
Yeah.
PLC government, FNM government coming in, no difference. Why? Why is it that the Bahamas government allow this second language, Creole, okay? The Bahamian people, these have a referendum for a second language. Who gives them the authority to have to do that?
Mm. Yeah. Well, in my view to the call, I think this is the worst.
Thank you so much, Carla.
In my view, okay. Just to respond to the call, I think this is the worst we have ever seen it in my view, in terms of immigration, the immigration crisis that we have faced. And again, I will keep reiterating over and over, when you have the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas going into the areas and saying, you are me, I am you, Sakbase, whatever else, and then he goes on and tell them in a service recently that, hey man, I have taken on Haiti's problem, and that is a focus of mine. When your own people here have actual needs, we had like 2 working ambulances, 1 and 2 fire trucks, lack of police cars, and that sort of stuff. But you are parading around telling another community that you're taking on their problems. It shows that, again, this government does not feel like it is a crisis, and this is the worst it's ever been, and that is simply because they don't see a problem with what they're doing. So the only thing we could do is get rid of them and allow the FNM to get in. ARC Operation and SHIELD, do the necessary research, throw away all the illegal applicants, and if you are found here to be illegal, you get sent back and you will never be able to get Bahamian citizenship. And the leader has already gone on record in stating that, and so the FNM has to just become the government to start to enact its immigration legislation.
We have a call on the line. Caller, welcome to Remark.
Good afternoon, Mom. I just wanted to tell you it's been a pleasure listening to you this afternoon, Gabby.
Oh, thank you.
It's indeed a pleasure. This is my first time being able to hear you actually sit in the big chair and run a show, and it's a divine pleasure and a breath of fresh air hearing you.
Listen, I don't want you, like, cause God put me off the show now.
No.
I don't want you.
Hey,
listen.
God should consider this an endorsement for this to be a good
a God and Gabby show. For a God and Gabby show. G-M-G. You all had that Guardian? We need a God and Gabby show.
Yeah. But one of the things that I would love to hear us discuss is the debt penalty and the possibilities of any administration revisiting legislation that deals with the death penalty and how we can go about executing the death penalty in our country, whether the policies are outdated, whether the death penalty has been outlawed, whether or not we just need to update our legislations. But I think the time has come in our development where we now need to go and reconsider the death penalty in our country as it relates to the level of violence that we're experiencing.
Thank you so much, Carla.
I just want to go back to that caller, because it touched me, the caller about the Christian people rising up. I don't know, I've yesterday, and one of the things I actually stated, and verbatim he came right here and said that, and I said, the issues with these fellas nowadays, they have no heart for mankind. Their hearts
they kill
are
it
very,
in front of
very
children.
Cold. You remember?
One time ago, women and children were off limits. Now we've seen several videos.
They got stone heart. Remember when being time when they run up on the bed, the little girl right there.
Just a few weeks ago as well.
Right,
another
little boy, and thank God,
these children.
He started to duck and they little side because he ducked down when the fellas by the window. Like, these fellas, they got stone heart. And I say the only way we can fight this thing is we need to get on the road and pray and ask God to unharden the heart of men. And he is right, because one of the things, again, the FNM, I go back to what the FNM was doing, even with the Each One Reach One initiatives, we always partnered with the churches in their community. And one of the things we was telling the churches when we partner with them is, we need to go back to the days of Church on the Park. We need to go back to saying, let's meet people where they are at. Let's let them feel the spirit. Let's let them feel the presence of God. Let's pray with them. Let's sing with them. Let's let them hear what it is that is really going on and bring a message of hope, bring a message of peace, bring a message of restoration. And we have seen results. We could talk about stories like the jealousy from the fellow say from Nassau Village, where we had a whole top dog move and get abroad based off his transitioning and getting out the way of the killing lifestyle and so on. So you do have these success stories, but the church will play a more pivotal role and has to play a more pivotal role in more national days of prayers, partnering with these different communities, whether this urban renewal, whether it's with the politician, whether it's organization.
I think we could even look at expanding that program. Yes, Carlos Reed used to have back in the day, in every corner, every church should have a Stop the Violence program. Everyone get on the road. We're talking about suspending liquor licenses. I want to talk about some of the things in the news as well that are affecting youth. We have a lot of young people now that are opening bars. We've heard recently in the news from the Department of Inland Revenue that you cannot be within 700 feet of a church. And or a school, which protects and then we already have a saturation right now, and they're revisiting, and I am aware of a lot of young people now holding these liquor licenses. That's the way they make their money, and we're talking now about revisiting this. How do we now say to these young men who are operating legitimately businesses in these fields now that, hey, listen, you buy this church, and this might have been a church with just pop-up, because we got plenty pop-up churches.
Yeah.
That's another story. We got plenty pop-up churches in a plaza with 6 members. And so now my business was in the plaza, and all of a sudden I have to yield to your church would have 6 members because you didn't want to submit to the leadership of your pastor. And you felt like you should open your own church. So you go and rent a space. And now you're in the plaza. And my business was in there first.
Yeah.
Not causing any problems, operating under the statutory laws of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But now, upon my new renewal of my liquor license, I seek to now, it could be possibly taken away.
But I think that's the conversation they should have, and the government needs to be, again, it's about conversations. We can't enforce or impose. They just need to have the necessary conversations with the different landlords and the different entities, and probably look at the legislation, whereas if it's a plaza, then it might be different versus a regular commercial lot or regular open space. So I think it's a conversation that just needs to be have revolving around how they actually go
now,
about executing
it. Because now, if I'm the owner now of said commercial space, I have a church in there, but the big liquor store tell me, say, I need that space downtown. I plan on rent. Somebody got to go. Who's going? So now
whoever spending the most money, who paying the most rent can stay.
And right now, at where the cost of living is so high, and Texas, I'm going to get to your Texas shortly. The cost of living is so high. Young people right now are saying, I got to hustle to survive. And right now, you trying to tell me if a church come in and if I operate in this liquor store, because let's be honest, I mean, it's what's selling. It's a market for it. These liquor stores wouldn't be saturating the Bahamas if nobody was drinking. Somebody buying the rum. Somebody buying the alcohol. It's celebrated in our culture. Yes. And I want to get to some of the texts, Denari, that we have. This texter says, we just celebrated Emancipation Day. And here we are, back to seeing our African people as our greatest problem. To be a Bahamian robs me of my rich African history. To be a Bahamian is to have a culture not clearly defined. What a Bahamian is also not clearly defined. To be a Bahamian means my beginning is slavery. We need to be what we are, Africans, and unite to deal with the true enemy, which is neocolonialism. The white man is still the problem. That's the texter texting in. We have another couple of texts. The texter says, Gabby, what I want to know is if the Free National Movement is planning to implement the Freedom of Information Act, and if they are also planning to implement an MP recall system for anyone who votes against the Freedom of Information Act. I want to know the timeline if they happen to take office the next
this test says asked him to give the top five, I guess they were referring to the top five priorities for the FNM. This texter says, we must get rid of this PLP government. That is the texter texting into the show. And I want to remind you that the text lines is 422-4796. And if you're going to call in, it's 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, and anywhere from the lovely family islands, 300-5720.
Let me see if I can answer all the questions asked now. The caller would have earlier asked about the death penalty. I stated earlier on the show, again, the FNM leader, Pintard, once successful, the incoming PM, he's already stated on record that we are going to define the worst of the worst and move towards back to the death penalty. Obviously, some more constitutional reform has to happen in regards to the laws that are currently on the book are archaic. And so, again, these were some of the things we'd have been discussing at our Ministry of Works, what we call the Shadow Ministry Working Groups over the past 2.5 years.
You know what I want to see, Denari? I don't want to cut you off, but you know what I want to see added? I want to see a gun amnesty. I want to see a gun amnesty. I remember recall who was prime minister. I believe it was Hubert Ingraham. He was the prime minister. And that was before he increased the charges you would receive for being found in possession of a firearm. Mm-hmm. And also, I think there was an additional year. I think you were to get a minimum of 4 years sentence, an additional year for each like round. I want to see these things. Listen, there needs to be some amnesty so that give these young men an opportunity to get rid of these guns, to bring them in, to turn them in. And also give them some opening, some option to expose the persons putting them in their hand. Because guess what? They come in through on these private yachts. They come in by plane. They come in by boat. Mm-hmm. How are we getting them into the country? Because we ain't manufacturing them here.
Right, yeah, we trust me, that thing go deep. But if you know who involved, some of the key players involved in this thing, it might drop your mood. You might understand, well, that's how this landing. Oh, this is what's going on. But I call it on the internet, they're saying. But I agree with you. I think, again, when you look at the Ministry of National Security, it's one of our most extensive. Like I say, it's in the top five. The call asks the top five. You have crime, immigration, healthcare, housing, and then the fifth one, I think, would have been education, if I can remember. That's the top five. The Freedom of Information Act and the MP recall system is definitely something that we discuss as well. I wouldn't get ahead of myself, but definitely wait for the manifesto to be released, the upcoming FNM administration manifesto. You would see the specific timelines and when it would be happening, whether it's in the first 100 days, the first 300 days, etc. That'll be explicitly laid out in the FNM manifesto, but for sure those things are in there as well. And again, just pay attention to what our leaders say and hold us accountable. The leaders on record again saying that these things are going to be enacted. These things are the things I see is going to follow through on. And so just hold them accountable. That's what you're supposed to do with your leaders. And especially this inept government that we have right now, who sees nothing wrong doing. Clearly, everything is administrative error. We have, I don't know how to trust with anything this government say. Our prime minister say he didn't know the FTX fella, the Sam Bankman-Fried fella, but he was shaking the hand, smiling at him, sitting him to the gold digging. They got a $183 million project. They turned around and say it was administrative error. They never came back and give us the actual figure for that $183 million error. The prime minister gracefully and all of his lovely colleagues slam table, like Gabby say, slap on the table, beat, oh, we having a surplus in April, oh, bam, 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 oh, $135 million. Just no longer than last week, the fella come back and tell us, I never say that. No, 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 I never say that. It's hard for me personally to trust anything that this government says, because to me it's a lot of misspeaking and backpedaling and I ain't sure that was a mistake or I never say this. And to me, we need to be serious about leadership and those who we have the leader. I'm very confident in the incoming FNM team. I'm passionate about it. I like to serve people and do right by people. And again, if the voice that I have, I'm going to use it to do right by Bahamian people. Even sometimes with me standing alone, but that's what the Bahamian people deserve, a government that works for them.
We have another call on the line. Caller on the air. This is Remark.
Yes, good afternoon, may I speak with both persons on the show.
We can hear you, as well as the Bahamas can hear you. You're live on the air.
Let me ask the question. It's very refreshing to hear you young people. I'm listening, I'm interested, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
Are you Gabby Miller?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay, because I know another Gabby. But continue. I'm listening. I'm interested, and I'm hearing. Thank you. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you so much. It's always good when we get the support of our mm-hmm. elders, you know, and that's
and
what
I
we want to foster, Denari. I think that's
them.
All we've mm-hmm. been saying.
Yeah.
We don't seek to, because one day we have to take over.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the disconnect cannot be, right? It's almost a lot of the older generation feel like they're being forced out, they're being pushed out, but one day we have to take over. And if we are not prepared to lead, what will happen? They say, there's this saying that says, hard times create strong men. And I like to put women in there as well, right?
Yeah, no,
create strong
yes, exactly.
men
I
and women.
Women empowerment as well.
Strong yes. men and women create weak times. Mm. Strong men and women create good times.
Good times.
Good times create weak men and women. Mm. So right now, if you do not prepare us for the future, things are going to fall apart, because at any day the good Lord could call you to Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't show your child, and I believe you have a son.
My good 12-year-old son.
And if you don't show him, hey, this is how you go to the bank, this is how your bank account, this is how you deposit money, this is how you do this, this is how you tie your laces. Is he supposed to still be waiting on you, God forbid, today or tomorrow you going to come and tie his laces?
Nope. I ain't doing it. Locking all of the people to perish. I believe in passing it on. And I'm young and I still want to teach as much as I can. True leadership is about empowerment, man.
Carly on the air. This is Remark.
Good afternoon. Guys. How are you doing today?
We're good.
Good
we're good.
All is well, man. How are you?
I'm okay.
That's good.
Sir, you're on the show as the guest, right?
Yes, sir.
You've been very disingenuous when you said this particular government has done nothing pertaining to immigration.
I didn't say they did it.
Just a second. This mm-hmm. particular government has deported the most person in the history of the Bahamas. You check the record.
Okay.
This particular government has knocked down the most shanty town in the history of the Bahamas. Okay. Now, when your particular government were in power, right, what did they do after Doreen? All right. Remember those persons that came from Abaco that were living in the Bahamas Academy School? Do you know what happened to those persons? They were released on the streets. Okay. Some went back to Abaco, but the majority of those seminary right here in New Providence, okay? So when you said this government is not in for immigration, check the record.
No,
okay, the record will speak for itself.
Yes, sir. No problem.
I
only take it that he is a supporter of the PLP, and I think that's a fair assessment that they always say. I never quoted that this government didn't do anything for immigration. In my viewpoint, I said that this is the worst it has ever been. So if again, you're saying this is the record amount of repatriations in terms of immigration, then that should tell you how much we had coming in. If you're saying that this is the most tearing down of shanty towns that we'd have had, again, that should show where we are at as a country. So my stance still is, this is the worst it has ever been. And again, when you have a prime minister, I don't care how they twist it, that states, I am you, you are me, your problems is my problem. That they don't care to seem to be worrying about illegal immigration or not. That's the prime minister's words, not mine's.
Boy, this is a hard show today. We're winding down, but we want to get as much of your telephone calls and text messages in. So we'll get right to it. Carly, you're on the air.
Hello, Gabby.
Hi. Welcome to Rima.
It's good to hear you all guys on the radio.
Thank you so much.
The caller would call just now, but the immigration. Listen to me. The record don't show that they send back 15,000 immigrants. The record don't show it. You could put it up on your phone.
The call lights are lighting up.
Lord,
the call lights are lighting up. We could try and get as much of these in because we have about 4 more minutes left before the editor shows.
That's PR they doing. No.
You can check it on your phone. Tell these PLP, stop talking fools. One day, Wayne Monroe said, 12,000? Next next day, they say 15,000. But you can check it on your phone. You know 15,000 and you know 12,000. Okay?
And that's why
thank,
I say we
thank
have
you
a lot
so
of
much, caller.
Flip flopping and inconsistency with this government. Yeah, that's all.
Thank you so much. We continue. Caller, you have the call back. We accidentally dropped you. Caller, you're on the air. You have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I called just to say that it is refreshing. I wish the host of the show would consider having you young people on a maybe once or twice more during the course of the month.
Well, it's good because...
really refreshing to hear you guys articulate as to where we are as a people and what you, the young people, expect in terms of our country going forward. It's really, really refreshing.
Thank you so much, sir.
For the kind words, caller.
We appreciate it. And while we're on that point, before I go to the next call line, I would just like to publicly extend my thank you to Mr. God Roseborough, who is the host of this wonderful show on Guardian Radio Remark, for just giving me the opportunity. God said, Gabby, I see you as a young person there. You're very articulate. You got something to say, and I know you want to say it. So guess what I could do for you? Give you an opportunity. And that's all we're asking for, is opportunity. And it's really up to us what we do from it from there. Caller, you're on the air. You have about 30 seconds.
How are you doing in your host?
Good.
Yeah, I side with y'all. And so, you know, I'm very sickened by the fact that I don't want to get into the psychology of the numerology. But I hope you guys are intelligent enough to let the government, you listening?
They're listening.
When they want to, when it's convenient for them. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
So we need freedom of information so we can actually document lies. Now, what I'm saying is, it sickens me that some callers are so imbecile. Like, I wonder if they ever read a whole book in their lives, because they always never critique the government. They always side with the government. That is road to tyranny and totalitarianism. Can these idiots realize that? Now, I live in the inner city, okay? That's good for you all. I used to live in with these Asians on Asian beamers. Yesterday, I went to the sewing shop, and all I saw was Asian demons and Asians, fully blown Asians, rushing to the park to get free supplies for their children. So the government is trying to create a socialist state, and they're using the taxpayers' money. That's what they're doing. Wake up, sheep.
Thank you so much. Listen, this is our last 30 seconds or so. Denari, you have anything you want to say?
My closing remarks, I just want to say, because we're talking with young people, we definitely would empower the organizations and empower young people to be involved in the process. Again, it's hard to trust this government with anything they say. The surplus was a big deal for us, and now we had a negative effect. And young people, get involved in the process. Let your voices be heard. They're not going to give it to you. And like Gabby said, find ways to get that opportunity, and when you get it, make the most of it.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. This is Remark with your host, Gabby, filling in for Garth Roseborough. And listen, I'll be on with him again tomorrow as he fills in between 12 to 2. And next week, I have the opportunity to fill in once more. So please tune in, call in, text in. Call a friend, text a friend, and let them know that 96.9 FM Guardian Radio is where you want to be at. Have a great day, Bahamas.